Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Tom Meredith.
Well, good morning, and thanks for being with us here this morning. Lots of good stuff to talk about here this morning. We're going to talk, it's that time of year, grilling and smoking and meats. And who better to talk about it with than the owner of Thrushwood Farms, Mr. Jim Hankus. Jim, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning.
Well, thanks for coming in with us here this morning. Every time I talk to you or even with Doug, you guys are always so busy. And one of the big things that we talked about over the last year or so is the big expansion product. What, another 40,000 square feet of space? Is that right?
It's 30. Yeah, 30. That'll
still
about
a lot.
Double. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now we have building one, building two, and we're calling this one building three.
And you're to the point where now you're actually kind of getting a little bit settled or moving things into that the new building.
We are. It's been about a year construction project, and this looks like the month of May is going to be move-in time. We can't, just pick up everything and move at once. We've got equipment and different items that we have to move, so it's going to be a little longer process than we had hoped, but we're getting awful close.
And with that, among a couple other things, I know you said with the weather last fall, you wanted to do some improvements to the parking lot, weren't able to get to that because you had so much going on, but you kind of have an announcement, and I got to say, there's going to be a lot of disappointed people, including me, but it's completely understandable. But because of, with everything going on with the new building, all that, let's go ahead and get the announcement out there.
Well, I kind of hate to say this, but, we've had a lot of good customers. We have a lot of great customers and stuff, but unfortunately, we're probably going to discontinue the cookouts. We're two focuses right now. Obviously, it's the store. The store is very important to us, as far as providing the products and stuff in the store to all of our customers. And then as we've grown more into a production facility, then we've been able to actually, we've got 46 employees now, and, which has really changed dramatically over the last few years. And we're making a lot of snack sticks and jerky type products that are going coast to coast in Canada, and so we're focusing on the production, and so unfortunately no cookouts, and but we will have meats and products and spices and sauces available in the store, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, and if you can't cook it yourself, find somebody who can. It all starts with great meat and great products, which you guys have. So I know people will be disappointed. And last year you weren't able to do it. You decided because of the construction with the 34 being closed and all the traffic there on 164 that it was just kind of too dangerous to have so many people going in and out. So it's understandable. But again, yeah, you've got so much going on, especially the month of May in particular, which is when you always do that.
And now with the move in, if people, we have a lot of people now that have gone like to Farm King, and then when they come back, they look towards the back of our building and see just how big the new facility is and everything. And they're like, wow, I didn't go to Farm King at the holiday time like I normally do. And I went there this spring and I can't believe how big that building is back there. And, or if you're over next door at Next Brewing and mm-hmm. Next Honey Brewing, right, and having a nice cold beer or something, and you look over, you can kind of see where we're headed.
Jim Hankus, owner of Thrushwood Farms Quality Meats here in Galesburg. You mentioned the changes, obviously, physically with the building over 40, how many years now?
42. We opened now. In May of 1978.
So 42 years. Some of the other things it's kind of interesting to see, and with your son Doug on board, one of the things he's done that's I in this day and age you almost have to do really big with the social media and doing things to do with the business on social media, which is really a cool addition. That's why it's great to have kids that understand that kind of thing, right?
It is. And it's really been exciting for us to experience this growth. It's challenging. Just like any business. But we're able to do it. We're able to do it in the community. We're able to do it in our great state of Illinois. And so it's really, like I say, been challenging, but at the same time, personally it's rewarding, to be able to provide some opportunities for our employees, that we have on staff to better themselves and be part of our team and go from there. And at the same time, maintain products in the store. We kind of look for new things to offer. And, Jeff keeps looking for some of these exotic things to put on the shelf. just so we're keep us that specialty store that we are.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the. It's almost like kind of two separate businesses: the retail side and everything else you do, isn't it?
Right, and it's interesting because we get a lot of our co-packing partners that come from the East Coast and the West Coast. They really enjoy coming to the store, looking around. They get a feel for seeing what we do and everything. And then, of course, when they get in the back and see all the production equipment and facilities and stuff, and then that's when we lock them in as a solid customer.
Jim Hankus, owner of Thrushwood Farms. You talk about being here in the great state of Illinois. Great for a lot of things, but we were talking about your parking lot improvements and that you wanted to work on and something that you kind of wanted to do, and the state's like, nah, I don't think we're going to let you do that.
Yeah, we had the old driveway, you know, off to the west side of the parking lot, and we thought, boy, if we could just open that up, then maybe we could direct truck traffic down along the side of the building and stuff. But, and I thought maybe there'd been enough people in IDOT that had retired, you know, that wasn't going to be a deal or anything. And but nope, they didn't want to let us do that. They, you know, didn't want to. Of course, I suppose last year when we asked, when we had all that extra traffic, wasn't a good time to ask, but they still said no. You know, you've got to direct your traffic in our old driveway and then across the parking lot. So we still have improvements we have to make on the parking lot and going around the bend to the back of the building.
Yeah, you would think that they would understand, they would make it easier and probably safer for, you know, truck entrance here and pedestrian or, you know, car entrance over on the east side.
It you would, but, you know, they're the experts, that, right?
Well, right, exactly, exactly. We're talking about Thrushwood Farms here in Galesburg, 42 years, and I don't care what business you are, you don't stay in business that long without having great quality products. And, you know, you talk about your co-packers, and that's the thing that, you know, for maybe somebody who hasn't heard you on with us before or doesn't know as much about Thrushwood Farms, kind of talk about the fact that, you know, obviously your meat you have here, everything pretty much sourced locally, and great products, but people come to you as a co-packer because of the work you do putting, whether it's their recipes together, aside from your own, and the quality that you put into it. So your products are all over the country, and I'm guessing maybe even all over the world now at this point?
Well, you know, like, say, North America.
Okay,
you know,
okay.
So coast to coast, anyway, yeah. And we do ship some products to Canada. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we go out to visit Richard, our youngest son, out in New York, and we can go to Columbus Circle, and we can go in off Columbus Circle and go into the Time Warner building, go to Whole Foods and look at the jerky display, and you start sitting there, one, two, wow, eight of those packages are ours. Are, you know, they don't have our name on, but they have the customers we co-pack for,
yeah.
And but they have our inspection number on there, and you think, gee whiz, that came all the way from Galesburg to the East Coast here, and it's on, you know, it's on display for sale, and that's pretty exciting to see.
That really is. That would be a really cool thing in your position for everybody that works there knows that, though, no matter where you're at in the country, you walk in, whether it's a convenience store or whatever, and whatever the store is, and see, it's like, hey, that's something that I may have worked on.
Well, you got to realize that, you know, probably this year again, we'll make like 25 million snack sticks.
Wow.
So that means you've got almost 20 million customers, you know, depends on how many snack sticks they buy. So it's interesting to see how the market goes, and a lot of people have great distribution. We didn't reinvent the wheel. We became a manufacturer, and we make it, and we let them get it through their distribution chains, which they're good at. So
you made the wheel more round, though, and smoother.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
yep,
for sure.
Yep.
Because your own snacks, again, I've told you this before, the teriyaki, there's no other product out there like that, even comparable. But you've got so many other, and all the flavors are great. I know you guys are continually working to improve and come up with some new ideas. Anything new that's or relatively new on the shelves now as far as the snack stick products go?
Well, we don't, not yet. We are going to probably be coming out with some new flavors of our own. But right now, one of our second largest customer is doing a relaunch on some products, and they kind of evaluated flavors, and Doug worked with them to help create some new flavors. And so we're in the process of working on that to get a package. In fact, we're working overtime today on production to try to get the purchase order filled, and that's pretty exciting there, you know, to have that much, because, you know, we're like everybody else, you know, try to avoid the Saturdays, especially you know, like a holiday weekend. And but then a lot of our team says, hey, you know, I'm going for it, it's springtime, and you know, I'll take a little extra cash, so let's work.
you know, and there's, I'm guessing, quite a bit of science behind that and coming up with a flavor, and especially with those. But I think a lot of people don't realize all the science behind meat, which is your major from University of Illinois, and you understand all that. So I'm guessing, especially with the snack sticks, that, you know, trying to get a particular flavor, that's, there's got to be a lot that goes into that whole process.
There is a lot that goes in the process. You know, you have to source the right protein, you know, whether it's beef, pork, chicken, turkey, whatever it is. You have to have the right combination of spices. Then you have to have the right drying procedure. You know, if you're drying meat, you know, you can't dry it too fast, too hard. You have to allow the moisture from the inside to migrate out. You don't want to case harden it, so it gets hard on the outside, and then it's super soft on the inside. So, you know, we're checking time, temperature. We're looking at pHs. We're looking at water activity. So there's science involved, and it's just a process that sometimes it just, things just don't work. You know, it's manufacturing, and sometimes you have a failure, but you go on, and what went wrong? But you know, you're dealing with mechanical equipment and stuff, you know, with smokehouses and controls. But the great thing is everything's monitored, so you know exactly what happens in the whole process.
And we as a customer, all we need to know is that it tastes great.
You bet.
That's all we need to know.
And we find out our most successful co-pack customers are the ones that have products taste great, you know, mm-hmm. because, and you know, we're conscious of, you have to make sure that your sodium levels and your sugars and everything, you know, are kind of in check. And, you know, I think the most successful people are the ones that, you know, we make sure we can still have that flavor so it pops, you know, and then you get a nice initial flavor, you know, when you take that first bite, and then your aftertaste is wonderful. And that's part of the huge success for the great flavors.
Yeah, absolutely. Jim Hankus, the owner of Thrushwood Farms, joining us here this morning. Good to take a break for news and come back. We're only 4 months into the year of 2019. You guys have been internationally recognized many times with awards, and already just 4 months into the year, a whole bunch of awards. We're going to talk about some of those and talk a little bit more about meat and maybe some processes, grilling and smoking and those type of things. This is Galesburg Live. We are joined this morning in our first hour by Jim Hankus. He is the owner of Thrushwood Foods here in Galesburg. They've been in business for 42 years. They have won boatloads of awards nationally and internationally. And I guess the biggest of which, and I know we talked with you about this last year, but the 2019 Richard Knowlton Award, you went to San Antonio. And I guess, I don't know, in comparison, this is kind of, I guess you could call it the Heisman Trophy of meat, the MVP, Super Bowl MVP. It's basically the top award that somebody can receive in your industry. So
it really is. Well, thank you very much. Yeah. It's you know, obviously it's a proud moment for us and as a company to receive this and be recognized nationally and internationally, and to be on the cover of the Meeting Place magazine and have that full blown article about Galesburg and the community and everything, which brought more light and obviously brought more business to us. And but you know, you're on a placard on the traveling trophy, you know, and you're on there with the CEO of Agribeef and Farmland or Smithfield and Tyson and all these mega companies. And you know, then we got little Thrushwood Farms. We'll have our name engraved and placed on the award, and we get to keep it. It's on display out at store. If you're at the checkout counter and you look up towards the back where we used to carry the wine, it's up there, and it's a Remington sculpture that the traveling award is. And it's really been, it was a great trip to go down there and kind of, you know, be received by your industry peers and recognized as a small company. And you know, you're sitting next to some of these people that run the big companies, and they say, well, yeah, oh, well, you know, they say, man, that's really got to be great, you know, that you and your wife and your family owns the business, and you don't have to report to a board of directors or anything. We just, you know, I mean, it was really fun just to have conversation with people, and you sit there and think, you know, here's some guy that's making lots of money, you know, and stuff, and big companies, and it's almost like they're a little bit jealous of what we've created, and it just, but it makes you feel good to be recognized, and it's just been the teamwork of everybody involved, you know, from all of us and from family members and employees, and we got a great staff, and you know, like I said earlier, I think we've got like 46 employees right now, and we've been able to grow our company in Galesburg, and just to recognize Galesburg, because I mean, it did help put us on the map.
Well, and of course, all of us locally that have had and used your products, we know how good they are, and I know you hear it from people. So you've been recognized locally, but it's really cool when your peers, and like you said, whether it's peers from big corporations or similar size to you, it's kind of cool to hear that and to be recognized.
It really is. I mean, it was a great trip, and we're down there in beautiful San Antonio at the La Cantrina Resort, and it had some nice spring weather a little bit earlier, and we welcomed that, and it was just a fantastic trip.
Well, there's different competitions held nationally and internationally every year, and you guys always do really well. And already this year, I think up in Madison, Wisconsin, in January. Am I right? 18 gold medals, or is this the one coming up in Germany?
That's the one. Okay. Okay.
So coming up in Germany, the Doug's going to be going 18 gold medals, one silver medal, one bronze medal for and you know, the 18 gold. I mean, so many different products. And I think maybe people don't necessarily realize how many different products that you guys make. It's not just butchering cattle and hogs, and it's there's so many products that come out of Thrushwood Farms.
We have all these products, you know. Of course, you know, smoked hams. This is the weekend for hams.
I mean, right.
We've sold a lot of hams. You know, we have a lot to be picked up yet today for the weekend for people to enjoy. The sausages, different kinds of sausages, you know, in our meat cases. You know, just we make a wide variety of products here at Thrushwoods, and the great thing about it was, you know, we really didn't take and pamper these products or anything. We were basically taking products that we made off the shelf to enter them into the competition to get judged, and that's the exciting thing for us.
Yeah, because you think barbecue competitions, for instance. Some guys that own restaurants do competitions. They're doing totally different and much better meat competitively than what they do in their restaurant, which I don't understand, but that's not what you're doing. The products you're putting on the shelves are the same products going to the competitions and winning.
Right. That's true. And we look forward, you know, and I know Doug and Lindsay are going to Germany to receive, not only will we get the gold medals, but we've won enough gold medals, we'll get a gold cup.
Too, oh, wow.
Which will be exciting. And then, they actually asked Doug to be a presenter at the IFA show, so they wanted him to give a program on making smoked meat products. So that's pretty exciting for him to be recognized, you know, as a leader in the world, you know, to give a presentation like that.
With the competition, is there like a panel of judges for each and every product category, or how does that work?
You know, I didn't look at the details exactly, but they flew over a large group of judges, the German judges from the German Butchers Association, to judge the products. So there was several, yes. So your product wasn't necessarily judged by just one person all the way through. There was several people judging, which is pretty exciting.
Jim Hankins, owner of Thrushwoods Farms, joining us here this morning, award-winning. And you, I mean, over the years, my goodness, you just continue to pile them up. Like you said, you got so many gold medals in this competition, they're giving you a gold cup now. And
well, we're pretty excited, you know. I mean, when we used to enter a lot of competitions when I was younger, and then, you know, when the boys were busy and stuff, and we didn't maybe go to some of the conventions or competitions, and we're doing the child things, and paying attention, and about time Doug gets back home one time, he says, "Dad, how come we don't enter this anymore?" I said, "Well, you know," he said, "we make good stuff, and I don't have to feed my ego, you know, and and stuff." And so, we need to start entering again. So we did, and we were challenged by some other processors too. You know, how come you're not entering the contest? You know, and had one guy said, "Are you afraid to enter?" You know, I said, "Oh,
there you
game
go.
On,
throw
buddy.
The gauntlet down.
You shouldn't say that." The next year, you know, we had a stack of plaques higher than he did. So but it's fun because anymore, it's not just Jim making the products or Jim and Kay or Doug. We include all of our other employees, you know, okay, if, you know, you're making this product and you're making this product. And so everybody gets in, the whole company gets rewarded for the quality of products that we put out.
Great quality Thrushwood Meats here in Galesburg, 42 years, still going strong and growing the new 30,000 square foot facility. There'll be kind of moving everything in over the next month or so. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, but we're going to talk with it being that season. See, I don't call it a season. I think for me, it's year round, but grilling and smoking and that type of stuff. We're going to talk more about some of that coming up next with Jim Hankus, the owner of Thrushwood Farms.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL and WGIL.com.
This is Galesburg Live. I'm Tom Meredith, joined this morning by the owner of Thrushwood Farms Quality Meats here in Galesburg, Jim Hankus. They've won many, many, many awards. We were just talking off the air about Germany, in some ways, the king of kind of the, those meats are processed and encased, hot dogs, bratwurst. There's just so many different products that they kind of came up with, but you were kind of talking about the quality of meats, and maybe part of the reason that they kind of had to start doing that in Eastern Europe was because they don't have the quality of the fresh beef and pork that we have access to here, and especially you locally.
We see, yeah, when we were over there, I know when I was over there, it's been several years ago personally, and beautiful meat case. I mean, you have all the different sausages and loaves and different things lined up, and it's just, you know, and then you're going down the meat case and you get past all the different sausages because we're interested in that. And then all of a sudden we're looking at the, you know, the fresh cut steaks and roast and stuff. And like I said earlier, it's like, you know, you just don't see the quality, you know, and it's just like, yeah, we better throw that in a crock pot to cook it. You know, we're not going to throw that on the grill and get a nice sear on it and then, you know, finish it off. So yeah,
probably not getting like the marbling and everything that
exactly
you're used to seeing here.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, people call this grilling season now. Once the weather warms up, grilling, smoking, whatever the case may be. I'm one of those, like, year round for me, but this is kind of that season. So, you know, I guess the bottom line, what it all starts with is a quality product. Because if you have a bad piece of meat, whether it's steak, pork, whatever, it's not, you're, no matter what you do to it, no matter how you season it, no matter how you cook it, it's not going to come out great.
It always helps to start with something good.
Yeah,
I mean, they, you know, sometimes when you're smoking something, and if you're doing a low and slow, and you know, you can kind of help get through it. But it's whenever you start out with a better product, it's like everything else. You know, it just gives you that advantage that, you know, it's going to really be great for you and your guests or your family, and that's quality is king.
You know, there's, I know we've talked about this before, differences between grilling and smoking. You just mentioned low and slow, that smoked meats, you know, people, if whether it's ribs that don't take as long, or if you're doing pulled pork or a brisket, which, you know, you're talking maybe 12, 16 hours of smoking, but that low and slow, meaning low temperature for a long time, doing it really slowly. And so kind of talk about the, maybe a little bit of the science behind that, because the, you know, you get so much with the smoke penetration from whatever your wood source is, and but yet still cooking it. But I guess in a case like with a brisket, that's a really tough piece of meat, but if it's done properly, it takes a long time. I guess is it breaking down the fibers? Is that kind of part of the
process? You gotta break, right. And the key thing with the brisket is, depends on how big the brisket is, you know. It depends on how much fat you leave in a brisket when you're smoking it, how deep of smoke penetration, you know, whether you're smoking with hardwood that you've cut or bought chunks or pieces, and charcoal, or just the wood or wood pellets, or if you know, there's so many variations. And a lot of the people in competition in briskets, they may only smoke them 6-8 hours. You know, and then there's some, they'll want to smoke them 12 or 14. And the key out of that, you know, I found when I was doing some of the Kansas City barbecue contests, mm-hmm, for years ago, was that brisket, you know, you have to get the temperature of the meat up to 195 to break down the connective tissue. So we would try to time it so we could take that brisket. And what we would do is we'd smoke that, say, for your 8 to 10 hours. And then we'd cut the flat off, wrap that in foil, raise the temperature of your smoker up, you know, try to get it up there about 350 to 400, chop up the point, turn that into our burn ends, mm-hmm. and then monitor the temperature with a probe, thermometer, in the flat. And when that flat got up to be about 190, we'd pull it, set it off the side, let it rest, and then it'd creep up to about 195, 200, and then keep flipping the burn ends to get some more smoke on it. So then what you would do is you would slice that brisket across the grain, and hopefully, you know, when you put your eight slices in for the judges, they can pick that slice up, it holds together, but then when they consume it, it's super tender. And then, of course, you'd chop up some burnt ends, so mm-hmm. you'd put a little piles of burnt ends for the judges, too. And so that's the key on brisket. It seems like pork, you don't have to take as high. If you're doing pulled pork, like with a pork butt, 185, it should shred. You know, if you're 170, it's not going to shred as good. Mm-hmm. That extra little bit makes all the difference in the world.
Well, and so the process, the longer process, like you say, with the brisket, if you're going 8 to 10 hours, during that time, are you, what are you trying to keep steady at, 225, 250?
It depends. A lot of people like the, a lot of people I found in competition are smoking in that 200 to 220.
Really? Wow.
You know, I mean, there's some people say, well, I want to smoke about 180, 85. I like smoking somewhere in that around 200 degrees. Mm-hmm. And of course, everybody gets their own little twist on how they want to do it.
Right. How about with pulled pork? Because I know when I do mine, I try to stay, I'm try to keep it hard with my particular setup, but between 225 and 250. But obviously, not nearly as long with the pork, also.
Well, that's great. You know, I mean, if, you know, I'll cheat because I'll use a Smokin' Brothers pellet grill, mm-hmm. and then I'll just set the temperature and walk away from it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, yeah, you know, but then you don't have to worry about anything. And then your temperature. And then even that, you know, even like my ribs, if you're smoking those, you know, we would smoke those about 4 hours, get its nice smoke penetration. Of course, first we'd prep them. You know, we'd pull the skin off the back ribs, and then we'd rub them with whatever your favorite dry rub is and stuff. And then a lot of times, you know, we'd even baste them with olive oil or something if you didn't want to be there to spritz them with, mm-hmm. you know, with apple juice or something. And that just helps keep that surface from drying out, and you let them smoke penetration. And then at the end, for that last 45 minutes, we like to turn the smoker up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to get them so you can finish them off. Yeah. And or you can even wrap those in foil to finish them off. And then, you know, then sometimes the bones almost just slide out of the meat.
Yeah.
So it kind of depends on how you like your ribs.
Yeah, it's so funny because different people have different takes on ribs. I'm kind of barbecue snobbish when it comes to that. With the restaurant, when it says fall off the bone ribs, like, okay, they're not a barbecue place, obviously, because in competition, it's got to have a little tug. Yet, but just like you said with the brisket, a little tug, but yet it's still really tender.
You're right.
It shouldn't be falling off the bone. But
nope. Yep, you cut your eight bones in for the judges,
mm-hmm.
and especially Kansas City rules, and you go up there and you take that bite out of the center, and you want the rest of the meat to stay on the bone, but that bite better be tender.
Still
otherwise,
very tender, yeah,
you're not going to score very well.
Yeah, which is not easy to do. I mean, there's competitions, and you see some of the top guys don't always win because you get everything has to come together perfectly. Let's talk more on the grilling side of things. We're talking smoking, low and slow grilling. More hot, more quick steaks, burgers. What tips for a novice griller like with a steak? I know there's the whole thing with you know, checking the doneness by, you know, holding your fingers together, well done, or, you know, medium well, rare, or medium rare, rare. With the, you know, touching the pat of your hand, and is it kind of more feel than
it is feel? You know, especially if you're doing it a lot, and then you've checked it with the thermometer. I just use a thermometer.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's just so much easier, and you know, a lot of times if it's a burger, you know, we're going to cook them. We want to get them up there to the proper temperature. You know, you want to hit that 160 degrees, you know, but if we're eating a steak or something, you know, we like to pull them about 135, maybe 140, and then give them a little bit of time to rest while you're having your salad or something, and kind of go from there. The meat thermometer is just, you know, I laugh because some of the cooking shows, you don't see them using meat thermometers. You know, Ramsay's talking about touching and feeling and this. And then if you get a glimpse off to the side, the sous chef, he's got a thermometer in his coat. You know, the camera slipped, you know. They they let him show that, you know. So, and even grilling, you know, you can successfully grill You can use, just the old standard Weber grill. Gas grills are quick and easy. Yeah. Trouble is a gas grill, you got to watch if you're allowed on your gas grill to do a little more indirect. I always liked a gas grill. I don't have one now that at home, but when you could turn the burner on, you could maybe sear off your steaks or chops, get a little char marks on them, and then offset them off to the side so you've got the indirect heat to finish while you're sitting around talking and enjoying some lemonade or something and fixing the rest of the meal. So there's a lot of things to it. I think the biggest thing is, and people ask about seasonings. Obviously we carry, and everybody carries different seasonings. Your basics are salt, pepper, maybe some granulated garlic.
Right.
Just to give it just a little flavor enhancement. And, and those are the cleaner ingredients. There's a lot of things that people have taken out of their rubs and their spices, like MSG and certain things like that.
And it all comes down to personal taste.
Exactly, too. Exactly. I think you talked about your wife, likes a certain barbecue sauce, but mm-hmm. then if somebody changes it at a particular restaurant, and now if it's sweeter or it's not as sweet, right. We all get those that we like. And of course, I haven't found too many barbecue sauces I didn't like.
Same here. It's hard to mess up a barbecue sauce, that's for sure. Jim Hank is owner of Thrushwood Farms. You mentioned direct and indirect heat. So direct heat, basically you're cooking right over the flame. Indirect, you're more next to it. And I think people need to realize, if it's a Weber kettle, maybe don't have your coals spread all over in the bottom of the grill. Have them maybe off to one side so you can do either. Because, for instance, with chicken, especially bone-in chicken, you're going to want to do indirect because there's a lot of fat in it. If it's skin on, that it's going to just burn if you have it over direct heat.
And then that's one thing, and that's even when we were talking about the smoking. That's one thing you're doing when you're smoking like a pork butt. Mm-hmm. You're actually, you're up there at those temperatures. You're up there around 200 degrees. You get around 140, 160, you start to render out some of that fat. Yeah. So you're right, that does allow that fat to kind of self-baste within, and it goes out slow, keeps the product moist, but at the same time, you're eliminating some of that. And it's the same thing with a brisket, but you are right, especially chicken. And chicken's good. You take a whole chicken, you can put on your grill, just like you said. If you're fortunate enough to have a green egg and put that plate setter in there,
you're
convection style. And that's where your pellet grills are all convection style. Pellet grills are nice because it's almost impossible to burn something.
That's easier to control your temperature. And
would have been nice to have one, when the kids were little and you're out there playing, maybe hitting a wiffle ball and stuff with the kids. And then you look back at the gas grill and you got smoke. It's oh, no, not again.
Flames. Yeah, burgers, the same thing. Yeah, I mentioned with the steak, I like to sear them a little bit on the hot side and then move them over.
Off the flame. Get that nice char on there, maybe, or get your lines on there, and then move them off to the side. Let them finish off. Get up the temperature, and then they stay juicy, and they're not, they're not overly crispy on the outside. It just makes a great. And with the summer coming, we've already seen. We get a glimpse of the weather. Sun comes out. We can see the product shift. And people say, well, I don't care what the weather's doing. I'm going to grill out today, or I'm going to smoke. I need a pork butt to smoke and this type of thing. And you have to realize, just even some of our smoked sausages, bratwurst, we had people buying, somebody who bought several ham steaks yesterday. They said, we're not going to bake a ham in the kitchen. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to, these are fully cooked. I'm going to throw them on the grill, heat them up, and then we're going to cut them into portions for the family. And that's a great idea.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Some of our other frozen foods, we sell a lot of shrimp, to grill and different things. We carry those bacon-wrapped pork kebabs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're awesome. And we have a lot of bacon-wrapped chicken breasts, different flavors. There's one with the bacon and stuff, or say they have the bacon and cheese. Mm-hmm. There's another one that you'd want to do a little more indirect cooking because it's going to take you longer, but you don't want to overcook. But there's so many different items. Fish, during Lent here. Sometimes during fish, you want to have one of the little grill pans, or you can even use foil because, fish a lot of times will have a tendency to fall apart. But if you cook it in a covered grill, You could, you know, almost, it's almost more like a grill bake situation. Yeah. But, you know, when you're after that extra grill flavor, you know, because, you know, take that salmon, sprinkle just a little bit of salmon seasoning on there, and then get that on the grill. That's really good.
Done nothing but made me hungry here this morning, Jim.
Yeah, I know it.
Oh, my goodness. All right, well, if you have questions and, you know, you want to do some grilling or some smoking, you talk to the people in the store. Everybody's knowledgeable. They can help you and answer your questions you have and, you know, check out all the different, like I said, it's not just the meat in there. You got all kind of wonderful products in the store itself, including some grills if people want to look at those, too.
You bet. And you know, in this year, again, we started last year, you know, carrying the actual prime-grade ribeyes. And because we have a lot of people that, you know, they want something really special, and not that the choice ones are great too, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, but you know, we try to do something a little different. We've got a few things that we're looking at changing the store, maybe some ideas that we're working on right now, just to help give us some new creative ideas that we have in the workings, and when the time comes, we'll kind of release what we have new going on, and social media probably be the grand way to do it. You know, last year we had the grand champion ham at the American Meat Processors Convention. And that's, you know, and I posted that on the, and got a lot of great comments on that. And I think that helped me sell a lot of hams.
Yep,
I mean,
good
I
deal.
Think we're going to be, we still have some left at the store. We haven't opened yet. We open at 9 o'clock, but, I bet by the end of the day, we could be sold out.
Oh, you're open. Oh, yeah. Oh, that is right. Yeah. It is only 80.
It's only 8, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah. It's so, but it's pretty exciting. I mean, to have people. And we like the holidays because a lot of people come back and families get together, okay? So we see a lot of people coming in the store, and we see a lot of young people are back to visit parents and this type of thing. And, of course, you know, we have the Making Memories Out of Meals trademarked, and see, that's where that all comes into play. You know, it's just a great time for families to get together. It's a positive situation, and so there's a lot of great memories made, you know, families and grandchildren and children, you know, everybody gets together.
Absolutely. Well, Jim, always appreciate your time. Congratulations on all the success. Best of luck with the getting moved into the new square footage there, another 30,000 square feet. I know you're going to be busy over the next month with that. And thank you so much, as always, for your time.
Thank you very much.